worship the Lord. Heaven shall reign, Jesus shall reign. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord. Come, let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice. Come, let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Sing to the God of eternity, come let us worship the Lord. He is the King, rise up and sing, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Sing to the victor of Calvary, come let us worship the Lord. Under the sun, Jesus has won, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Let us worship the Lord, worship the Lord, come let us worship the Lord. Lift up your voice, sing and rejoice, come let us worship, worship the Lord. Son of Jehovah, yet Son of Man. Conquering Lion, yet suffering Lamb. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord forever. Worship, worship, come let us worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Come let us worship. Worship, come let us worship the Lord.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Please also refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. And we will be having our quarterly congregational business meeting directly following this service, and we invite you to attend that meeting. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Oh,
us continue our worship now with hymn number 402, Faith is the Victory. Please stand as we sing hymn number 496, Victory in Jesus.
Pray together as a church body, looking to God. for his blessings, all right? Heavenly Father, we have gathered together as the living church of our living God. And here at Morgan Hill in California, you have given us the privilege to gather and praise your name, as the congregation has done already, and as the choir and those gifted in music will do it later on. We plan to open the scripture and see the blessings of God on victory line for those who believe. Lord, we, as a body of believers, want to thank you for knowing you as our mighty God, for knowing that in spite of our trials and difficulties and our imperfections, you are still a mighty and gracious and merciful God to us. Lord, I read in the scripture that it was not for your mercies we will be consumed. So help us to have mercy with everyone around us. I read in the book of Psalms that you said, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. And as I listen to the debates and to the forums in this year of election, help us to choose a man who still believes that the nation is blessed when their God is Jehovah. Bless our missionaries around the world, Fred and Carol Lewis, Carl and Ruth Knotts, Eusebio and Maritza Perez, David and Denise Rhodes, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, the Christian Athletic Association, Daniel and Miriam Lacey, and thank you, Lord, that Martha Foretti arrived safely back home. Lord, you will speak today when I will be teaching. And let me get out of the way so that thy word and thy truth exclusively may be heard, received, understood, and by the Spirit of God, apply into our lifestyle. May the offering that is going to be taken in a few minutes be enough for the support of the ministry. And from our heart to your heart, Father, we want to say thank you for providing for us. There was a year in which our members, some of them lost their jobs, but now they are back into work. And so, Father, thank you. And thank you for your provision in the church, who was a stable and sufficient. Thank you for your people and their giving. So bless the offering and bless the giving. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Apostle. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 721. We will be reading Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the Scriptures, which continue to keep us from error, and keep us from compromise with the world. We thank you for our pastor, whose teaching relies on the Holy Scripture to assure that we do not fall into error, and even other sins, idolatry and heresy, and things that the world loves. We thank you for the never-ending supply of heavenly spiritual food. We pray for strength to stay the course and be doers of the word. We pray for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Give him strength and good health that he may continue in the ministry. Bless him and guide him, we pray, now as he brings the great truths from the Bible. Give us ears to hear and understand with our hearts, and also to those who are not followers of the Lord Jesus, that they may also believe the gospel and be saved from judgment and condemnation. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother Plika, for the reading of God's Word. If you open your Bible back again in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 17, is my text for you this morning. I want to speak to you about victory as a Christian. This Sunday and the Sunday that follow, and then Pastor Van Dyken, to whom I talked to this week, is anxious to come and preach to you. Amazing enough, Pastor Van Dyken is running to be 84. Had four bypass open heart surgery. And he is running in motorcycle, he said. I said, please don't try it to come to, but you never know, you know. When you get older, you never know what you're going to do. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 says, and Jesus is speaking, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. If you are in a spiritual individual, which God has zeroed in your life and transformed your life by his Spirit and became transformed by the power of God, then you have an spiritual ear. And God is saying, now hear this, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna. So I want to speak on those words, to him that overcometh. And I'm going to transform these words like to him that have Christian victory in his life. The Christian life is often compared in the scripture as a warfare. If you turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 18, page 699, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, page 699, you will see that the Christian life is compared in the scripture as a warfare. Paul said to Timothy, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Timothy, you go into the pastorship, you're going into the ministry, you're going into a warfare. Followers of Jesus in the Bible are soldiers. You are in 1 Timothy. Move your Bible to 2 Timothy, the next book, chapter 2, verse 4, page 701. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 4. The Bible says, no one engaged in warfare entangled himself with the affairs of this life, but he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We as soldiers are exhorted to put the whole armor of God and fight the good fight in the scripture. Now turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, just to your left on your Bible in page 691. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. We are exhorted to put the whole armor of God and fight the good fight. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And please now go back to Timothy, to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, page 700. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, page 700. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which we were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Some of you have been engaged in the conflict of faith. Others have more recently entered upon it, but whether young or old in the Christian life, we all find necessary to be constantly stirred up to the watchfulness against the never-ceasing assault of the foe. It is not enough to put on the armor and begin the battle. Our text for our meditation today in Revelation 2:17 says, "To him who overcomes, I will give. He alone shall lay hold upon eternal life." To the one who overcomes. It's not enough to say, I'm a Christian, I'm a member of a church, I sing in the choir, I preach in the pulpit. It's to the one who overcomes, the one who makes the Christian life his lifestyle. I'm so glad the Bible doesn't talk about denomination. I'm so glad. We are not left alone without encouragement in this internal battle that we Christians have. As generals before a battle set their headquarters among the troops in the battlefield to stimulate them to valor, so Christ, the captain of our salvation, leads on the consecrated hosts of his elect and animate us to follow his footsteps by the exceeding great and precious promises of his word. That's what the word of God is, a vital to the Christian life. My brother in Christ and my sister in Christ, listen to him as from his throne of glory. He exhorts you to persevere in valor against the foe and pray that his promise may be fulfilled in your case, whether the case may be, he said to us all in Revelation 2 and verse 17, he who has an ear, who has an spiritual ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who received it. Isn't that a loaded text? Let us consider the promise and then the conditions attached to the promise. You heard the text, you read it with your own mind. There is a promise and there is an attachment. You who use computers, you send a note, and then if it's a document that you send, you don't copy the document there, you send an attachment. You know that. You are familiar with that. Well, God gave us a promise. But let's look on the left side on the top. There is an attachment to the promise. All right? So we're going to look to the promise for your encouragement. For your encouragement. Mothers, you are raising children, giants in the land. Somebody is the mother of President Bush. Somebody is the mother of Kerry, the candidate. See, these people in high prominent places, they were raised by mothers. And you are so important in the life of your children. Fathers, you are so important in the teaching of your children about what is right and what is wrong. And this will encourage us. So let us consider the promise. Now, let's do that. The promise is twofold. The hidden manna and the white stone. You look in verse 17 and says, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone. So the promise is twofold. To the believers, God is going to give us the hidden manna, and then is going to give us the white stone. Now let's look on it. Number one, the hidden manna. Now to understand, if you were Hebrew, you already knew, because manna is a Hebrew word. And the word ma, it means who. Na is, Manna, who is it? You will understand that. But let's go back to the English background. The hidden manna. So in order to understand this, I want you to put one hand in the book of Revelation and go back to the second book of the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 16 and verse 15. The manna in the wilderness sustained the Israelite. It was a kind of unleavened bread that came from heaven and sustained those people. Previous to that, God has sent birth that came from heaven, and they eat meat because they want meat. And then they want bread, and God sent bread. Exodus 16 and verse 15. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" That's the word manna. "For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" Now, move your eyes in the same chapter, please, 16. Move your eyes to verse 35. "And the children of Israel ate manna," ate the, what is it? "Ate manna 40 years. Not just one day, ladies and gentlemen. 40 years. See, when God supplies, he never runs out of supply. You know that encouragement? When God supplies, the supplier in your life is God, you never run out of supply. Look at verse 35. "And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan." So the manna that Jesus talking about in Revelation 2, in the context, the manna, it refers to the manna in the wilderness who was given to sustain the life of every Israelite. Now, amazing enough, Jesus take those words, manna, and apply it to himself. You may be already studying Sunday school this. Turn your Bible to John 6, 41. Christ spoke of the manna as a type of himself. If you move your Bible to John 6, page 625, John 6, 41, page 625, Jesus said, "The Jew then complained about Jesus, about him, because he says, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" Now, if Jesus will say this to you, you say, "So what?" But if he will say that to a Jewish person will remember Exodus chapter 16, and then the Jewish person will say, "Wow, he is saying that he is the food from God." And that would be a blasphemy if that was not true. So Jesus spoke of the manna as a type of himself. You know, there is another life more important than the life of the body. You know what life is? It's the life of the soul. Now, medical doctors do not know this, the anatomy of the body. They don't know. They are ignorant of this fact. I ask every surgeon about this, and they are so ignorant that I will wish to send it back to school again. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Is in page 697. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Here is the complex body or life that you have explained by the apostle. All the parts of your body. I even went to the hospital, to the library of the hospital, to find if any new doctor had written something about this, and everybody think in the body and just the bones and the flesh and the electrical system and the pipe system and so on, and nobody think in the real body. Look at here, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your Holy Spirit soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see, by the Holy Spirit, that dead soul which you are born with, because I have news for you, you were born with a dead soul. Romans 5:12 said that as sin came from one man, then sin passed to all men. You were born with a body. You were born with a brain, but your soul was dead because of Adam's sin. And by the Holy Spirit, that dead soul is quickened. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Page 688. And you need to use the King James Version of the Bible to understand these other versions has chopped the things from the text. Now, here's what it is. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 said, by the Holy Spirit, I said, the dead soul is quickened. And Ephesians 2, 1 said, he hath quicken who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, those people were alive. They have a body. They have a mind. But Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit, their soul was quickened and they became alive. Now, get the picture, because we're trying to understand what Jesus said by the hidden manna. Get a picture. You are an individual composed of spirit, soul, and body. You are born with a spirit, a mind to understand, and a body to walk, but a dead soul. When you became a Christian, God penetrated you and quickened your soul and made you alive. The promise of Jesus is this, that both life and nourishment of that soul comes from Christ and Christ alone. You see, as the life of a newborn infant cannot be preserved without food, so the new life which God imparts in us needs continual support. As a baby needs food from her mama, so we need food, spiritual food, for our spiritual life. By His Spirit, the life of the soul becomes of full vitality. There is a gorgeous text to explain this. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 and page 664. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, page 664. The Bible says, Paul says to the people of Rome, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. My brother and my sister, not only Christ Savior, but His life sustain you. Let me glance some of the things in life. You're talking about love. Love. Well, He is the food of our love. Look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, page 719. In John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, the first letter of the apostle John, page 719. Look at what the scripture says. We love Him because He first loved us. We have love for God because God loathed us with His love. And because we have the love of God in us, now we can love God. He's the food of our love. In any matrimony where Christ is not there, love is a question mark. But when Christ is there, makes all the difference of the world. He is the food of our obedience. Look in your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:14, page 681. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Nobody in the natural state can obey God. It's an impossible thing. But He is the food for our obedience. 2 Corinthians 5:14, page 681. For the love of Christ compel us, because we judge thus, that if one die for all, then all die. The love of God compel us, move us. Is that love that God gave us that moves me to read the scripture and to obey the scripture? If I don't obey it the first day, there will be maybe 100 times that you pounded that scripture, but one day you fall in love with that scripture and you obey the scripture. It is the love of God that feeds us. Actually, He is the food for our faith. Go to a famous verse you know by heart in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, page 667. Page 667. He is the food of our faith. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. The King James said God, and other Bibles said God, and other Bibles said Christ. There are different manuscripts with this. We hear the word of God, or we hear the word of Christ, and when we hear the word of God, the word of Christ in the Bible, that produces the electricity so that we can have faith. We in our natural state have no faith, but when the word of God comes into us, produces the faith, and then we believe. The manna is the gift of God and came from heaven, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It is not a setup of man. No philosophy or human invention can feed your soul. It is a divine plan for the salvation of our ruined race. Please notice that the manna in the wilderness was needed daily. 40 years every day. And so with the heavenly manna today, yesterday's supplies will not suffice us for today. That is why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 11, give us our daily bread. That's what Jesus meant. Give us our daily bread. Doesn't mean this common bread means our spiritual bread. Oh God, give us our spiritual bread every day. In Revelation 2 and in verse 17, it is spoken as the hidden manna. Such is the Christian life. Our life is hidden in Christ Jesus. We get the hidden manna. The guy on the street who doesn't know Christ, he had no chance to get the hidden manna. But we got the hidden manna. Please turn your Bible to Colossians 3 and verse 3, page 694. Colossians 3 and verse 3, page 694. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, our life is hidden in Christ, and we have a hidden manna. Beloved, that manna is hidden in your heart. So even though at times sorrow beats upon our frail life, yet it does not sink. Why doesn't our life sink in the storms of life? Because we have the hidden manna. Not because we are strong, not because we are made in different way. It's because we have Christ in us, and Christ in us will not die, so we will not die. So don't ever give up. If you are a Christian, there are moments in our life that are so tough, we don't know if we'll survive. But you will survive if you're a Christian. Humanly speaking, we cannot take it. But we are no longer human. We are hidden in Christ. When you read Ephesians, it says you are seated in heavenly places. You think that those sentences are written just for like philosophers? Just to test my thinking, I turn to the university, you know, there are channels, you turn to the University of Berkeley. A philosopher was speaking about problems in our life. And he used words that I had to use my dictionary right away. I had my computer over there. But I just called the university and said, I want to know what the man said. Because he spoke for an hour and I don't understand what he said. I tell you, if you have Christ in you, you will understand what he said. If Jesus Christ is in your heart, you will understand his word. It will be hard to obey sometimes, but let's face it, for all. But it's there. And it's the word of God that you go back on it and you read it, they sustain you. So he said, if you overcome, if you are a Christian, I give you the hidden manna. Inside your body, inside your soul is Christ himself who will feed you. And you need to feed that life by reading the scripture. If you do not read the scripture, you are not feeding your soul. Now let's talk about the white stone. God give us Christ. Wow, already, we are in cloud, 999. Oh, we are flying. Not only he give us Christ, he gives the white stone. And in America, what do you mean, God, the white stone? Then you need to go to the libraries of Alexandria in different places. By the miracle of God today through the internet, you are in a split of a second over there, and if you understand Arab, you can read it beautifully. Here is what I learned. You type the word in Arab, white stone, and here is the explanation. At the time of Jesus, when a person was friendly with another, a white stone was given as a symbol of their friendship. You give the best to your friend, don't you? As a symbol of your friendship. In the times of Jesus, you gave a white stone. When a person received the Savior in their heart, Jesus bestowed upon that person a white stone, a symbol of his love. And Jesus is not just God. Jesus is not just a high priest. Jesus is your friend. By his spirit, he persuaded us to give him admission into his heart. Look in your Bible in Revelation 3:20, page 923. By his spirit, he knocks the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knocks. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Finally, after his appeal upon our heart, we hear his voice. See, if Christ will not knock the door, we will never hear him. We can hear a preacher. We can hear somebody telling us about God. But when Christ knocked the door will be open. Because you will hear that knock. By his spirit, he persuaded us to give him admission to our heart. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Finally, after his appeal upon our heart, we hear his voice. You know, John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice and we will open the door to our heart. And when Jesus comes into us, the manna is in our heart, then we are able to see him and the blessings which he will bestow upon us. I want to give you a listing of the blessings, because if you feel down this morning, I want you to go home with this list of blessings that you have. Jesus is in your heart. He has given us his precious promise. That's blessing number one. His precious promise. His human sympathy. Remember in Matthew 14 when Jesus saw the multitude without shepherd and he was moved with compassion. His human sympathy. His perfect example. When you ever want to look for an example, just read the gospel and find what Christ did. His prevailing intercession. Romans speak that he is our intercessor. His pure precepts, his infinite love. John 13:1 said, he loved his disciples to the end. Whew. He makes a covenant with us. He promised in Hebrews never to leave us, never to forsake us. He tells us that we shall never perish. In other words, he gave us the white stone of his friendship. And I want to read it in the scripture for you. John 15, please. And verse 15, page 634. John 15 and verse 15, page 634. He has given us the white stone. And if you are one of God's children, doesn't matter what race you belong to, doesn't matter what nation you belong to, you have the white stone. John 15, 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, the white stone. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. By the unbeliever, God is known in different ways. So my best shot is stepping to the airport and I ask people, who is God to you? Here's the answer I found from San Jose Airport last week. God is power. Other person said, sir, if we're talking about God, God is majesty. Somebody from the Arab country said, God is justice. A young fellow told me, God is the man upstairs. This is the unbeliever. That's the way they know God. But you remember that Jesus gave us, first, he zeroed in at the hidden manna. Then he gave us the stone of friendship, but there is a name in the stone. Remember? In Revelation 2:17, there is a name. The believer knows God not by those names. He knows God by a new name. What's the name? Jesus. That's his name. Is a name written over there. Later on, Revelation 19 said, there is a reign written on the stone, is the King of Kings and Lords of Lords and so on and so on. His name, Jesus. Jesus is the name. Jesus. Do you know God by this new name? Remember, this is a new name. This is a new name. Jesus. A new name. Jesus. Do you so know him as to wish no longer to hide from him, but to hide in him as the only home of the universe, and that way you can live forever. Jesus. So now you got the first part, the promise. The promise. The promise is, I give you the hidden manna, I be in your heart, and when I come into your heart, I give you the stone. I'm your friend, and the name is Jesus. So you don't look for any God, any place else. Jesus is his name. No wonder when I tell people about Jesus, he said, don't tell me he is God. Well, they don't know. They're unbelievers. I feel sorry for them. But when God comes into their heart, they know. What is the attachment? The attachment. To him that overcometh is the word in Revelation 2:17. That's the attachment. I will give you the hidden manna. I will give you the stone. And I will put the name on the stone. But there is an attachment. To him that overcometh. To those who prove victorious, said the original. To those who prove victorious. See, the Christian life is not a membership in Bethel Baptist Church, the best church of the world. No, it's not. Christianity is not that. Before conversion, there was not fighting in our heart, no battle against the dirty deeds of our life, the devil's suggestions and the heart's inclinations. We were alive to those things. We don't have to fight those things. But when light shone into our soul, the struggle began. And we strive to escape, and the battle ensues through our lifetime here on earth. If you are a Christian, you are in a lifetime for a battle. God, as our creator and redeemer, justly demands our obedience and our love. Whatever interferes with these claims of God is an enemy trying to bring us into battle. We have a great adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, page 715. This is our adversary. This afternoon on the question and answer, I will answer the question, is God true with the adversary? Here is the adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may salute. No, he may devour. There is no exception of person. Women must fight as well as men. There is no exception on account of circumstances. The rich and the poor, the learned and the unlearned, the cheerful and the sad, all must fight against the devil. There is no exception of place. Foes lie in wait of a Christian wherever he or she goes. In the mart of commerce, in the busy workshop, when he returns to his home, when he's with the family, in society, alone, in the city, in his private meditation, the devil is right there trying to disturb you. It is a war of extermination. No quarter is given. There is no exception of time, no season of rest. Satan never beats a retreat except to lead us into an ambush. No white flags comes out that can be trusted. If we pause, we are wounded or taken captive. It is a warfare till death. While we are in the body, it is true, we need to fight. We need to wrestle. We must be resolute, no give our enemy the advantage. We must not give place to the devil to say the scripture, remember? We must watch against the smallest beginning of sin by putting the whole armor of God. Now, through the conflict is an inferno, but our encouragement is great. You know what? We have a mighty champion. He died on the cross. He was buried. He resurrected. We have a mighty champion. Victory is ensured because our champion has victory. And you know something? Not one faithful warrior perished. They all went to heaven. Remember what Jesus said? I lose no one, he said in John 17. How can this be possible? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, said the Bible. Look at Revelation 12 and verse 11, page 726. How can our Christian victory can be possible? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12, 11. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. You have no power against Satan. I know, but one has visited this world who do have the power against Satan, and he can help us. The mighty Son of God became, listen carefully, the suffering Son of Man, that he might be the liberator of our slave life. He stands near you every day. Tell him you want to be saved, but know not to begin the work, and ask him to both begin the work in you and complete it. Lay your prayer, if you are not a believer, let your prayer be this: be merciful unto me, O God, a sinner. Listen carefully. It's not a simple prayer. I visited at the beginning of this church and 1985, a young couple. They were in trouble, just married. I knew them from another church when I was in seminary, so my wife and I went to their home. Usually the trouble is disobedience to God. And as I asked each one of them to pray, this, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner, she said, Pastor, I pray, Lord, be merciful unto me, but not a sinner. I'm an educated lady. I'm not a sinner. And I found the problem. But the prayer is there. Be merciful unto me, a sinner. He will pardon you shameful concessions to the fall and animate your life. You need to confess to God. Lord, I'm imperfect. So now, as I close in the last 30 seconds, don't cut me off in KKMC. Here is important. Who is your hidden manna? Answer that question in your heart. Who is your hidden manna? Politics? Science? Books? Movies? Entertainment? Sports? Financial investments? Hobbies? Or Christ? Who is your hidden manna? You need to answer to that question. Who gave you the white stone? Friends? Co-workers? Acquaintance? What's the name on the white stone? Is it Christ? You know, I really love Abraham. That Iraqi that became the father of the Hebrew nation. He was from Iraq, Chaldean, actually, like our brother Ramil, Chaldean. That Chaldean, I love him. If you turn your Bible to James 2:23, I will wrap up the entire sermon in one verse. James 2 and verse 23, page, I don't have it, but it's way on the right side of the New Testament, all right? Page 223, no, James 2:23. James 2:23. You find it. Just by the book. You find Hebrew, you are close. And the scripture was fulfilled, which is said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see it? All over the scripture. I will give you the white stone, the friend of God. Can you call God your friend? Can you call God your friend? Your friend. I can. And many in this church can. Can you listening to me over the radio and the internet? In the CD ministry and tape ministry, can you call God your friend? Has God given you the white stone with his name? Listen, Christian victory is just at the door. Troubles, difficulties, mountains, yes, but victory also. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the white stone with your name on it. And now, Father, you have given us the hidden manna. And we confess to you that in this country who is so rich and has so many things, we are distracted sometimes from the reading of thy holy word to feed our soul. No wonder there are so many dead Christians, looks like. So, Father, I pray that today, you will renew in us in a spirit of humbleness, that we may go back home and make time for you to feed our soul. And then we will see victory in our life, one upon the other. Thank you for the scripture who are so perfect and so complete. Thank you for giving us the friendship of Christ. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
Song of praise to bring. Our spirits rejoice as we live.